Well, today's readings are somewhat very amazingly beautiful. If such age happens, wouldn't that be wonderful to see? Isaiah has the 66 chapters, and this one is from 65th chapter. So almost at the end. And in here, basically lays out this new vision for new world, new heaven and earth. And can you imagine actually lions actually eating the vegetables these days? Well, we call that not natural. But somehow that's how it's written here. But if you go back to the first chapter of Genesis, the second, well, when they were created, actually, the fruits from the trees were given to them as their food. Somehow what Bible is saying is that all creatures were created as vegetarian. I'm not a vegan. I love eating parched meat. But somehow Bible begins with this and ends with this. Somehow saying that Bible is not exactly about killing other life for my sake is not the original, at least not the original design of God in this world. And if you go to this Revelation, that's chapter 21, and that is also second last chapter of the book. And here again, another beautiful. These descriptions, these visions, hopes we call kind of nostalgia. That something that's ideal, something that's in a way too perfect to be true, but we all wish that comes true. Why am I kind of, you know, putting this in this something that we call New Church Day, or the title of the message that I want to speak today is The Faith of New Church. We have something that we call faith. Faith in God. Well, what do you mean by that? When you are saying to yourself or your friends, you have faith in God, what do you really mean by that? As we know, as we're all well educated in many degrees and many ways, the word faith could even be defined so many different ways, or even so many different denominational ways. If you go to one religion or one denomination, faith in God may mean one thing. If you go to another, it may mean something else. My challenge from the beginning always and still is that my question to whoever telling me that God has told me this, did you actually hear that from God directly? And most likely 100%, no, I heard it from the preachings from the pastor or the book, or it's a theology that somebody else wrote about it. So how does this something called faith comes to your mind? In the Bible, somehow God gave them all these teachings, commandments, relationships, and somehow at the end of this Isaiah, God has to say to them that, you know what, by the way, I will make everything new. I want to create new heaven and new earth, and former things will not be remembered. And if you go to Revelation, almost exactly the same thing. Somehow there is this message. It's in a way self-contradictory if you kind of see it like the way like God is trying to say, I'm here with you, I've been here with you all the time. And by the way, if you want to be in this perfect, idealistic paradise where God is actually present, something has to be different. So, question to you is, when you think about God, who is God? What kind of God do you have in your mind? This was the exact question I was asking to the seminarians in our denomination too. And believe me, they were all puzzled and struggled with it. So who is God to you? Why do you believe in God? And what's your relationship to Him? So, did you find answers to the question? If you do, you can probably teach me. It is such a hard question. And also, I found that in the Western world, the word, the concept, God sometimes automatically stirs up different kind of emotion in your heart. If you grow up in a church or in a group of people who may have the concept of God that is too fundamental, too restrict, too authoritative, you may have developed the tendency to hate the concept or the word God. Because I officiated at least 5-6 weddings that the couple wanted to eliminate the word God entirely from their ceremony. But I met with them at least, except one couple, 4 or 5 times before their wedding. They were sure that they believe in Creator. They believe in the divine. They believe there's something more, but they just don't like the word God. And if you may wonder, yes, I asked you the word intentionally. A lot of times, we human beings are intellectual beings. We trust our frontal brain a lot. And we hope and believe in its power and capacity that it has power not only to, search and find the information we need, but at the same time, we also believe in it that it has power to analyze, process, and even evaluate to the point that it will be giving us the right information or even the truth. Is it really true, though? Well, psychologists or the scientists actually discovered that one slight teeny bit of emotion is more powerful than all our cognitive power. So even if, like for example, is phobia. If you're afraid of something, even if it's a little tiny, like ant for example, if you have a phobia against ant, you know that you can just kill it. But you can't even get near to it. And you know it's irrational, but you can't control it. That's what's called phobia. There are a lot of things that emotionally charge in our backside of the brain, which is called primal brain. And all emotions are coming from there. Therefore, we are intellectual, rational beings using our frontal brain and believing that we have rational capacity while making all the decisions based on our emotional charges, which is mostly unconscious to our frontal brain. Is that interesting? Now, when I was asking the question about God, is it intellectual question or is it emotional question? Intellectually, you process certain knowledge, certain information that you have gathered throughout your life, books that you have read. But there is this emotional charge that is coming into your heart that is attached and associated with this concept of being called God. Now, if you don't like that concept, you automatically don't like God. But if you have certain good attachment to it, then you may like it. Now, take you to one more step. So, do you believe God because God is essentially there as the absolute being who created everything? Or God is absolutely there because you believe it? It is tricky thing, actually. Because our mind has worked for thousands and thousands of years in many different ways. And sometimes, because we believe it to be, it is. And it's more real than what we call factually real. So, this chair is factually real. But if certain things that we somehow share all together in this group is also real, but it's not factually real, but it could be more real. Why? Because it moves your minds and heart. It makes you to make a certain decision. Now, if you watch all those advertisements, and if you learn psychology and how they create advertisements, you all know that it's a mind game. Even the silliest advertisement is made by the brilliant minds. Why? It's a silly trick, so that you remember. All they want is you to remember the product. That's it. So when we need to buy something, if you remember this, your tendency is, you grab it. Without really thinking about why you're grabbing it. Because your mind is kind of remembering. It's in your mind. And the rest of the product, you don't really know what they are. Actually, you don't know them at all. You only saw one in the advertisement so many times. So, why am I telling you all this when I want to talk about faith? Faith also is something that is happening in our hearts and minds. And we have to rely on the capacity of our brain a lot. And if our brain is not processing what we want to see properly, we may see some things that we create to be real and believe it to be real, without really knowing that that's just our own creation. That's why whole Buddhism teachings about everything is creation of mind. You know, it's all illusion because we created them and we believe it to be true. So it is true, but it is not true. Same thing applies to many, many, many cases. How come people were able to kill each other in the name of God? How do you think they can do this? How can even think about hurting other people while believing in this God who wants peace to everybody? And they totally believe that they're working for God. How come such a thing is possible? It is our mind. It is our brain that is working for my desire. We have this capability. Each one of us' brain is like better than 10 supercomputers existing on Earth right now. You are that much a powerful being. Meaning, you could totally create something that is totally false, but totally believe that's right. And you can even justify in a rational and logical way that what you are saying and doing is right. And you can even convince others to follow. Isn't that amazing? Well, we're called the Swedenborgian Church, and Swedenborg is the guy who wrote 33 books, theological books alone. And we, among the ministers, we often, you know, have a joke like, we're so happy that he didn't have computers. Because we might have 3,000 books. You know, he was writing everything, you know. And we have 33 books. Yes. And he wrote a lot. But to me, what he's trying to tell us is not different from Buddha or Confucius or Muhammad or any of those people. You have to really overcome, we all have to overcome our own selfish, subjective desires, needs, obsessions, in order to see the truth. When truth comes into us, when I am totally submerged into my selfish desires, truth automatically turns into falsity because I want it to be. I want it to support my desire. And I want to justify it so that I want to tell people that what I'm doing is right. I mean, after all, who on earth wants to say other people that, hey, by the way, I know I'm wrong. And I know what I'm doing is wrong. I'm a bad guy. Who wants to say it to the world? I mean, even if you meet all those criminals, real bad criminals, they all have a way to justify what they do. They even quote Bibles to justify. I once was having a conversation with this prison chaplain, and he was saying that, you know what? My ministry in prison is so amazing because this is like first time he met so many soldiers of God. They're all soldiers of God. Because they can read the Bible the way that they like to read it. And they all can justify that what they have done was cleaning. You know, cleaning this false and evil community. So they were working for God. So it's all in the way that it's a must. We have to be able to see this selfishness, this desire, not in other people, but in me. Because for truth to come in and actually work, its job. How can it be possible that if we have a selfish desires and evil desires in it and mix it with it? So in a way, faith of the new church, that's why it emphasizes on rationality. Because rationality, by definition from Swedenborg, is the ability to see what is right and what is wrong in me. And he actually warned so many times, just like Jesus, we'll never know the spiritual state of other person. Therefore, don't ever try to make any judgment about other person's spiritual well-being or even quality. We're not capable of doing that. But we can do it to myself. If you read the Swedenborg's reading today, he talks about 3 degrees of faith kind of coming in. And then he kind of convert that into faith is actually truth. And truth is something that we not only know, understand, but has to be in the actions. Well, what did Jesus teach in the whole Bible? Or God teach in the whole Bible? The message is clear, right? God wants to create peaceful world. World that has peace in. Where people love each other, support each other, help each other. And in Jesus saying, you love each other. Well, now you heard the truth. Are you doing it? That's the second part of the faith of the new church. That I am wishing and hoping that that comes more true. Is that, well, knowing was hard. Why? Education was very limited. Even literacy was like less than 5%, sometimes less than 1%. Well, among you, how many of you cannot read and write? Well, see, none. How many of you, if I give you a book, cannot read and write and understand? Well, probably none too. See, you can read and write. When you read something, you understand. I mean, you may not understand fully or completely or truly, but you understand what it says. When it says, love each other, you understand what it means. The next part is, are we doing it? And I believe that's where we have this pause. Because loving others seem to be very, very difficult sometimes. Sometimes it's really easy. But at the same time, sometimes we want to love other people the way I wanted to do. Like, have you ever heard this kind of conversation that I'm trying to help you, and the other person, no, I don't need your help. But this is a better way to do it. But I want to do it my way. But if you follow this way, you'll save your time and money. No, I want to do it my way. And that sometimes we call it helping others. Right? Sometimes we call it helping others. Because I know what's right. I know which way is a better way. So I want to help you. Well, in a way of, in the other way of it, actually forcing others to follow my direction. Essentially, that's controlling. So, we all know when it says, love each other. But finding the way to properly loving each other is very hard. Why? Because a lot of times our mind is fully occupied by my own subjective and somewhat selfish desires and obsessions. So the truth comes into us saying, love each other. Well, okay, I think I can love this person in this way only. So if this person comes in this angle, I'll help them. But if this person comes slightly off, I can't. Sometimes that's what we say. We don't want to change ourselves to help others. But what is actually the word loving means? It's willing to give without condition. Willing to help without condition. And according to Jesus, willing to help even giving one's own life. Meaning, changing everything entirely. So, when this person says, you have to come this way to help me, then you kind of go and squeeze in there and help. And I'm sure that's hard. But I believe that is loving. And that's the faith of the new church saying that's the truth. The truth comes into you, and truth is the most proper way that you can love somebody else, the way that person actually feels being loved. There's a difference, right? Because there are so many loving parents and the children all come and say, no, no. Why? Because they've been ordered, commanded, fixed, but they didn't feel loved. Loving has to be felt loved. That is from the third part. In order to do all or any of this, again, all religion teaches the same thing. That's why Buddhists emphasize on meditation, Christians prayer and self-examination. We need to quiet our minds, kind of calm it down. You know, from the thoughts that is from our own selfish obsessions, desires, wishes, attachment. When it's all quieted down, then the truth comes in and it can do the work. And that's the new heaven and the new earth that is from God. So may God bless you all. Amen.